Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. And before I start taking calls, there is another story I want to do regarding economics that I view as very important. Now, last year, Nigeria launched its own central bank digital currency. You know, they're trying to go transition where you don't have currency or anything of value on your person. It's all in the banks and under computer control, which means if your cholesterol rating is too high, the restaurant will reject your credit card that you're trying to pay for it, even though there's money in the account. I mean, that kind of stuff that's going on here. So central bankers, academics, politicians, people from over 100 countries have been, you know, watching what's going on in Nigeria, and the currency is called an e-naira, and it's Africa's first central bank digital currency, and the evidence is now in. It's been a massive failure. People don't want to have just a little card and have somebody else actually in possession of their money. It's a massive failure, and according to Bloomberg, only one out of every 200 Nigerians is using the e-naira. That's even after the government implemented discounts and other incentives to try and get people to adopt the central bank digital currency. And it didn't work, which is a big shock to the elites here. And meanwhile, Nigeria has one of the highest Bitcoin adoption rates in the world. They rank number 11 among all countries. They love the Bitcoin because it bypasses government's capital controls. And that's a big draw for Nigerians, as it is for other people living under repressive policies. All right, 512-248-8252. And we're going to go to Dan in Washington State. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I wanted to talk about lobster. Maybe your caller from Alaska could comment. But first, I wanted to respond to Miles' call yesterday about the Federal Reserve. If the South had won, you wouldn't have a Federal Reserve, but which is completely ridiculous. Woodrow Wilson was the first Southerner elected after the Civil War, and he's the one that created the Federal Reserve.
Well, he allowed its creation. The Federal Reserve was created by a group of private bankers, and then they went to Congress and said, this is what we'd like, and by the way, here's some money for you. The fact is that private central banking has been around for about 300 years. It is a means of covertly enslaving populations to serve the elites. Even if the Confederacy would have won, there still would have been a private central bank by some name in both countries would be the way it would wind up. I mean, remember, the Federal Reserve was the third private central bank installed in the United States of America. The first one was led to the War of 1812, and because the U.S. would not renew the charter. Then after the war, they had to accept a second private central bank to deal with the economic damages from that war. And then Andrew Jackson campaigned on shutting that bank down, and he succeeded, at which point there was an attempted assassination on him. And so when all those people got together on Jekyll Island and came up with the third bank of the United States, somebody said, you know, we shouldn't call it the Bank of the United States, because the smart, educated people are going to realize we're trying to pull the same scam all over again. And so they said, well, we're going to call ourselves the Federal Reserve and act like we're part of the legal federal government, which they're not. They're not in the Constitution. And it was at that point that schools stopped teaching that one of the major causes of the American Revolution was King George's Currency Act, forcing the colonials to only use banknotes issued at interest by the Bank of England. And so now it's all about tea in Boston Harbor and the Midnight Ride and so forth and so on. So there's a lot of cover-up on that. So
you brought up a good point yesterday with England and the South being supported by England. I researched. There's a guy, Judah P. Benjamin, who was Jewish, and he was on the Confederate $2 bill.
Yeah.
But after the Civil War, he basically escaped to England, you know, and I think, in a way, the South, when Wilson was elected, the money power of the South did win the war, because that changed our whole, he got us into World War One. He got us more for the British Empire. That basically ended the period of Lincoln's America.
Yeah.
Which was like a white nationalist America, and then it turned into this British Empire.
Well, and Kennedy tried to bring it back with the U.S. note, and that was probably one of the many overlapping motives leading to his assassination.
Yeah. So anyway, I kind of have a feeling the South kind of didn't win the war in that regard. So it changed America.
No, the bankers won the wars. You know, the bankers always win the wars.
Okay, and then real quick, your caller from Alaska. You haven't reported on the lobster. I guess they haven't done. They're canceling lobster season this year. Have you heard about that? Like, there's millions of less lobster than.
I had not heard that. But it would not surprise me. I mean, that radiation from Fukushima has been affecting life all across the Pacific here. There was, I think it's still around, this dangerous catch about the crab fishermen up there in Alaska. And for one of their season finales, they came down to Hawaii. And it turned out one of the crew members was a fan of What Really Happened. And he said, hey, you want to come on over and watch us shooting that final episode? Because it's just down the road from where you are. And I said, sure, I'd love to, you know, and came on down. And this was never allowed on TV. But those crab fishermen were very open that the biggest worry they had right now was that some college kid was going to go down, grab a crab, and put a radiation detector right up against it.
Wow. That's interesting. That's a pretty big deal. I mean, that's where we get in the Seattle area. That's a big industry, and it's where we get most of our crabs. You know, lobster, I think.
Yeah.
So, or maybe not lobster, but crabs. Anyway.
Well,
I'm
still biased.
Huge, really.
The best lobsters come from Maine.
Right, right. All right. Well, thanks for taking the call.
You got it. Thank you for the call. We're going to go to Charlie in Florida. Hello, Charlie. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I don't know what you were reading about Colonel Doug McGregor, but it sounded like you were saying he was wanting us to go into the war and attack Zelensky or something of that nature.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
No. That can't be right. Colonel Doug McGregor is on our side. He's one of the few people out there that political are.
Hello? Did we lose you? I think we lost him. Well, I'll go back and I'll take
another. YouTube.
Oh, okay. So you're back now.
You could go to YouTube or anywhere and look up Colonel McGregor and find interviews he's had with people like Judge Napolitano and people like that. And you'll find that he is totally against what we're doing over there in the Ukraine, 100% against it. He believes we got no business over there. Okay.
Well,
He would never say what you reported him as saying. The story must be bad or whatever that you got that from.
Yeah, could be.
I just know he wouldn't say that.
Well, I'm trying to find it here, let's see if I can get to that. I'll tell you what, on the next commercial break, I will definitely hunt that story down, and we'll take it from there.
On the guy who just called in, he was talking about the South and the Federal Reserve and everything. No, it wouldn't have happened in the South, and I can tell you why. I don't think he understands it, but the South wanted nothing to do with the Supreme Court. They wanted local Supreme Courts, okay? They wanted local, like cantons, okay? And they wanted all these into local areas in the South so that the Supreme Courts could override the federal Supreme Court, okay, on issues.
Yes.
And how that works out is that this works out that they wanted to have localized banking also in areas. in each, so that like there could be a local bank in Georgia, or there could be a local bank in any of the cantons, or any, that's how they wanted to set up, into the counties. And so that the people had control over that, because they were fighting the federal, they were fighting the Rothschilds, basically, who was trying to take over their cotton industry in the South. That's who they were fighting. They knew what they were fighting against. They would have never allowed central banking to go on in the South. It just wouldn't have happened.
Well, I don't know. I mean, after the first and second banks of the United States...
Well, they were totally against the greenback,
you know,
dollar.
The public, you know, obviously was not in favor of it. The government just went ahead and did it.
No, they wouldn't have done it. The South would have never allowed federal.
Well, there's no way we can really know that. You know,
I think we can, because if we look at the way they were wanting to set up the system, like that's what I'm saying, to the no federal.
Okay, your line is breaking up here a little bit. I think we lost him again. It's a bad phone connection. All right, well, Charlie, like I said...
The principles, you'll find that Jefferson was against federal banking as well. But anyway, it's a pretty deep subject. I mean, and I don't know, have all the ins and outs on it, but I do know that, I do believe that it would never gone over in the South. You know, I can't. Like you
well,
said,
I wouldn't have believed it
sure.
would have been pushed, you know, that same fraud would not have been pushed on the American people three times in a row, but it did happen. Anyway, Charlie, your phone line keeps cutting in and out, so thank you for the call. And we have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to John in Colorado. Hello, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon, Mike. Happy Thursday. I don't know if you've been on this interesting thing about pro basketball player Kyrie Irving made some supposed anti-Semitic statements about some movie. And it never said, or maybe you know, what movie were they talking about?
I really have not been paying that much attention to it. I do know that for whatever it is he said has drawn a huge amount of ire and hostility toward him, and he's being threatened with having his children taken away, which I think is a serious overreaction. But I don't recall what movie they were talking about or even what he said, because anytime somebody says anti-Semitism, I tune out because I'm just tired about hearing it over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, Mike, I agree. It was just curious hearing this over the last few days. And, like, he tweeted some, I don't know what they call them, tropes about anti-Semitic. I probably had something to do with the Holocaust. I'm sure that's what it won. And
okay.
Today on the ESPN Sports, they had an interview with him, and he got him to make a statement. He didn't say anything about apologizing. Sounded like he was getting close, like he and the national NBA were going to donate $500,000 each to groups against hate speech. And it makes me wonder, you know, who's doing that. And but what he talked about was, it's funny, he was getting into talk, and then he mentioned somebody, some reporter, I think, brought up about anti-Semitism and all that. And what do you think about this? And then Irving kind of quipped in and says, well, you know, I was a young kid. I thought about all these he calls 300 million black people in graves in America. And he didn't know all what that was about and all that. And all fine and true, but it made me think about where they come up with. He came up with 300 million people. And made me think about, too, I said, what if a guy asked you a question, well, what about all these, some of these Jews that were slaveholders and had sold slaves from Africa and all that? And what would you think about that? And interesting, too, the head of the NBA is a Jew, Adam Silver. And he was trying to pressure Irving to make a statement that he was sorry and all that stuff. And, It's just, you know, I just wondered what your opinion, if you haven't heard about it. But it was interesting. They're bringing this up as a big, I never heard what you said about he might have his children taken away from him. That didn't come up anywhere.
Yeah, that one came down yesterday, and just the way the Democrats are panicking over they may lose control of Congress, the Israel lobby is panicking because they're starting to lose influence, especially here in the United States. Now, going on back to the previous caller, Charlie in Florida, the article, I found the article again. It's not talking about Colonel McGregor. It's talking about David Petraeus, who's out there saying the U.S. needs to get on the ground in Ukraine. So somehow that got misread and confused. And also, Mike in the control room has informed me that the movie in question is called Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America, according to ESPN.
Okay. Yeah, well, I could see that. But interesting what tweets that Irving said that were termed anti-Semitic. Okay, that's an interesting one. Where that came, it'd be interesting to look into. But
got to be careful, about this thing, because anti-Semitism is in the eye of the beholder, and somebody who's out there to say we're going to get the anti-Semites, they're going to see them everywhere, even where they don't exist. Think about the mentality behind the witch hunts in Europe or Salem, Massachusetts. I mean, it takes on a life of its own, and people start seeing anti-Semites or witches or hobgoblins pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, one last thing. There, on ESPN during this with this interview, they also had a panel of two women who were commentators. They're all black, and mm-hmm. three either NBA players in the past or current reporters. And the moderator was a Jewish rabbi, chief rabbi from L.A., Los Angeles.
Okay.
Listen to that. Let's one of those. Okay. Let's like. Oh yeah. Everybody's after him. But, that's why I listen to you, Mike, and everybody else. You know, you bring this stuff. Yeah, the Democrats, Israel lobby. Yeah, they're afraid of this, so they kind of conjure up all this kind of stuff. So that's why I appreciate it. One last thing I'll bring up is Judah P. Benjamin. There was a big riot up in the Barnes Review a couple of months ago. He was the VP of, the president of the South, and. He worked behind the scenes to undermine a lot of things, and at the end, he escaped with a lot of funds from the South and became a barrister in England and died at the ripe old age of that. But, yeah, this is what they call...
The last official act of any government is to loot the nation. That's been true since ancient Roman times.
Yeah. Okay, Mike. Well, thanks a lot. Have a good day. See you Friday.
Bye-bye. All right. Thank you. We have open lines, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Steve in West Virginia. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I got a couple things. First of all, Kyrie, I mean, he really didn't say that much. Basically, what he said is, because I follow him on Twitter, is that, that black people are the real Jews, which I don't think is anti-Semitic at all. But that's what they were.
Well, it is if you have a negative attitude toward the blacks, which I think this whole dust up may be pointing an arrow at who the real racists are in our society.
Exactly, Mike. You hit it. I want to get to two quick points, though, and I want to tell you and the audience there was a great, great show on today, Mike. And if you get a chance, please listen to it this weekend. I know you're busy. It was the round table with Gonzalo Lira, Tom Luongo, and Alex Kramer, and it was about 2 hours long, and they talked about both sides of the globalists and how they're fighting, and I mean, they nailed it with the banking and what's going on, and it ties into the war and everything. Mike, if you get a chance, you're a great analyst.
All right, I'll hunt that down. I'll hunt that down in my copious amounts of free time.
Gonzalo Lira Roundtable. But let me get to my main point, Mike. People...
I'm going to have to put you on hold. Steve, hang up. I'm going to come right back to you after these words from our sponsor.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to the show. Here we have open phone lines, 512-248-8252. We're talking with Steve in West Virginia. We're talking about the globalists and, what is their plan? Now, just for those of you who are new to the show and new to the website, I am opposed to the idea of a one-world government simply because it would be the ultimate dictatorship, because there'd be no alternative systems out there. One of the advantages of having multiple nations, a multipolar world, is that, there are social experiments on how to make a better society going on all the time. If you've got only one society, it's never going to have a reason to try and improve itself. It's just going to say things are just fine the way they are. I'm getting rich and comfortable and everybody else has to obey me. And why should I let that be altered in any way? Plus, I mean, look at the degree of corruption we're seeing here in the United States of America, all in quest for an Oval Office. Can you imagine how bad it would get in the quest for the throne of planet Earth? So I really don't like the idea of a one-world government. I don't think it would work for the benefit of the people. Anyway, Steve, just sort of pick up from where you left off.
Yeah, and real quick, Mike, before I talk about Twitter here, the one thing Gonzalo Lira and them said, Tom Longo, is they said that all this stuff about whether the United States and Saudi Arabia are warning each other, they said that's all crap. They said that Saudi Arabia is working and has been working with Iran for for like 3 or 4 months now, and they're meeting regularly. So that's something that's not being talked about in the mainstream news. They're trying to portray it as an adversarial relationship. But from what these guys are saying, that's not true. They're working together. But Mike, let me get to the main thing, because I know you got a lot of callers, and I hate taking up.
Well, actually, at the moment, I don't. So we can take some time with you. And in response to your last comment, Saudi Arabia and Iran may be getting cozy. Saudi Arabia is clearly drifting away from the United States of America. The party that wants war on Iran is Israel. Because Iran is a regional, political, and economic rival. And Israel wants to be king of the hill. And the way that you get to be king of the hill is you push everybody else back down the slope.
Exactly, yes. Now, let me get to my main thing. I want to see what you think. I've been watching Twitter for the last week, since the Pelosi thing happened and Elon took over. And I'm telling you, Mike, and I know a lot of people that are on there would agree with me and are agreeing with me, the censorship has gotten worse in this week that Elon Musk has taken over. It's gotten, they froze out Scott Ritter. There's a handful of people, prominent people that they've moderated or whatever you want to call it. But I'm not that impressed with Elon Musk.
Well, you got to give him a little bit of time here. I mean, it's a big company. Mm-hmm. It's spread all across the globe. And, let's see how many people actually do get fired tomorrow. But you don't just come on in the next day and expect everything to switch around on you. That was actually Trump's big mistake coming into the White House. And Elon's going to have to work dig out the people who are censoring conservatives and get them shut down and get the banned accounts turned back on. I think we have to wait and give him a little bit of time to work with him.
Yeah, but like in the case of Trump, how can anyone legitimately ban the ex-president of the United States?
Well, Trump came on out and said that while he's glad that Twitter is in Elon Musk's hands, that he's going to be spending all of his time over at his own platform, Truth Social. And I don't blame him for that. I mean, he put his own money into it. It's going to take a while. And, there's definitely an effort to damage the Twitter brand, because I'm also spending a lot of time watching what's going on at Twitter. I'm seeing a lot of absolute junk and nonsense being posted on there. A lot of stuff that looks like it's deliberately written to inflame people and make Twitter look bad. There's been a major jump in the amount of outright porn that is being poured onto Twitter. And, somebody wants to damage the brand. And, if the liberals can't have Twitter, they don't want anybody to have Twitter.
Yeah. Mike, how can they come out with that Pelosi story where they did with the plastic wrist restraints and all that stuff? I mean, that is so ludicrous. Everybody knows it's some kind of gay encounter, whether it was a prostitute or just somebody he met in a bar, but everybody knows it. And I grew up in San Francisco, Mike.
Claire's from San Francisco. Claire's from San Francisco, and I spent a lot of time in San Francisco working on the day after tomorrow, and it was still a beautiful city back then, but I mean, just see how it's deteriorated since then. But getting on back to the Pelosi situation, I think the reason that Nancy Pelosi and everybody else said we can use this to damage the Republicans, it's a sign not only of their desperation that the polls are turning against them rapidly, but it also shows that, they grew up in an age where any politician could lie, the media would support them, and the American people would say, oh, well, I guess that's what happened. That world is now gone. And, okay.
I got one quick thing. Give me your best upset in this.
Actually, Steve, stay on the line. I'm going to come right back to you after the commercials. 512-248-8252.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
OPEC Plus is expected to announce a cut in oil production today. I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. The oil producers cartel of OPEC Plus is meeting today and is expected to announce the largest cut in oil production since the beginning of the COVID pandemic. Some are forecasting a cut of 1 million barrels a day. That would obviously raise the price of oil and, in turn, the cost of gasoline. And clearly, a steep increase in gas prices this close to election time would be a disaster for the Democrats. So the Biden administration has launched a full-scale pressure campaign hoping to stop the production reduction. Remember when America was energy independent and a net exporter of energy? Ah, the good old days. If only Biden had not attacked American oil producers, stopped pipelines, and ended leases, and drained the nation's strategic oil reserves. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. It happens far too often. Decorated soldier, veteran of the war. Who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor? Preacher man wags his head while the rich man turns away.
Welcome back to our show here. We have open lines, 512-248-8252. And Steve in West Virginia, you said you had one more point you wanted to bring up.
No, this is just a question for you, and then I'm off. Give us your biggest upset for the Republicans that nobody's expecting, and your biggest upset for the Democrats that's nobody expecting. Like, if you think the Democrats...
Well, the only upset I'm thinking might happen is that the Republicans will win the Congress despite the election fraud. Other than that, because of the election fraud, it's really kind of impossible to prognosticate the results.
Yeah, but I mean, do you have any one specific candidate you can make a prediction on for anything?
No, not really. I'm not in that line of work. As it, you know, I'm criticizing and trying to correct the system, and you know, I'm not here making a book on which candidates are going to win.
Okay, Mike, thanks a lot for all the time. Have a good one.
All right, thank you very much. The lines are open, 512-248-8252. And let's say there is a new report. This is at the D.C. Inquirer, in which an insider says that Ron DeSantis will not challenge Donald Trump in 2024. So where the race is shaping up, as it were. All right, getting on back to some other news here. There was a recent kerfuffle where in Arizona, the campaign office of Katie Hobbs was burglarized, and the media went crazy saying, oh, this is Carrie Lake. She's pulling a Richard Nixon and breaking in and trying to do all that stuff. But the Immigration and Customs Enforcement said that they have identified the burglar, and it was an illegal immigrant. Okay, and so Carrie Lake is exonerated, and Katie Hobbs is humiliated for trying to exploit that. And again, a lot of these people that we're seeing this kind of behavior come from, they grew up in an age where politicians could lie with impunity, the corporate media could lie with impunity, and everybody just had to say, well, I guess that's the new reality. That world is gone. The American people, by and large, are far more skeptical. They are not as naive as they were just a few years ago. And they're not trusting of the government or the media, nor should they be. And this gets back to a comment I made the other day. You all have to be your own best analyst, your own best fact checker. You know, don't rely on somebody else to tell you what reality is. You got to take the time and the dedication to figure it out for yourself. It's just like Thomas Jefferson said, the highest duty of any American citizen is to keep themselves fully informed so that they can make good choices. And you don't want somebody else telling you this is you're informed as long as you believe the lies here. All right, getting down to immigration, kind of something just a little bizarre. There were a bunch of migrants that attacked Customs and Border Patrol officers with rocks during a riot in El Paso, and the migrants were waving the flag of Venezuela, and it did get rather ugly and hostile. The agents had to fire pepper balls and ultimately did manage to push the group back into Mexico, which is what we should have been doing all along. Don't bring them in here and say, have fun while we work out your situation. But no, just fortify the border, and we have to take care of that. All righty, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Michael in Northern California. Michael, what's on your mind?
Hi, Mr. Roboto. Hope you're having a great day.
Well, I'm hanging in.
As you always do. So yep. First minor point before I get on to the background of David DePape is that the South during the Civil War, they were highly funded by the British. If anybody thinks Central Bank wasn't going to roll in there after the South may have won the Civil War, is very misinformed and hasn't done enough research. And you
There were editorials in the British papers just absolutely denouncing Abraham Lincoln for introducing the greenback, you know, because it meant, you know, governments would furnish their own money. You know, they wouldn't be forced to come to borrow it from us. And so, yeah, every nation in Europe with a central bank absolutely hated Abraham Lincoln for that.
And on top of it, the other day you mentioned the Russians coming in on the side of Lincoln. And that was the Russian fleet pulled into, I think it was at San Francisco Bay, actually, at one point in time. If I recall, Webster Tarpley did an expose on Russia's involvement in the Civil War and how they helped the North.
Yeah, they were basically, they maintained a blockade against any ships coming in with war supplies for the Confederacy. And they were in San Francisco, they were down in Los Angeles, and amazingly enough, on Catalina Island, there is still the remains of one of the Civil War outposts maintained by the Union. And so, yeah, Russia was a big part of it because Russia had just gone through their own kerfuffle, and they understood the value of having, you know, currency under the control of the government rather than the bankers.
Okay, well, let's jump over to Dave DePape.
Okay.
So in the research I've been doing, the best, I think the best outlet, the best media outlet has been the San Francisco Standard or the SF Standard. And last week, they were able to get a short, brief interview with David DePape's daughter, who's Gypsy's daughter as well.
Okay.
And she had a website up, and I think her name is Inyo or something along those lines. It starts with an I, and I can't pronounce it. But she had a website, and on that website, she had testimonials about her father, David DePape. And on that website, she basically says that he's nonviolent. which is kind of a weird thing based upon everything else we've been hearing. You know, he's a pedophile and all this other kind of stuff. But she did an interview with the Standard last week. She went ahead and she sent the Standard screenshots of her website before it came down, because all hell is breaking loose and all these different websites that we know of that had anything to do with him have suddenly either popped up and they're magical, or the ones that have been existing, they're down. In the interview, that's basically what she says. She goes, hey, I've already made a testimony about my father. Yeah, my father, my mother, they had problems. My father is not well, but he was never violent. That's what she says in the interview. And that just goes to show how much the mainstream media has a grip on this story. Because if you go to the SF Standard every day, you go ahead and read their follow-up reports on David DePappy, and they're straightforward. It's good news. It's not bent one way or another. Every once in a while, they'll mention a little thing about, hey, there's a claim that he was a militant MAGA, mega MAGA or something like that. But then they have another follow-up article, and what's interesting, on that article, they have another reporter that was out in Richmond talking to his landlord, and his landlord is like, hey, he was the nicest guy ever. And then a neighbor of his, he actually worked with him, and he was a handyman. He did carpentry.
Okay.
So it wasn't like this guy was completely destitute or anything like that. Whether he was doing drugs and playing the life as a hippie and following the dead or anything like that, who knows?
I'm less interested in David than in looking at how the story has been mutated and manipulated and fed to us by a system which still believes that the American people are dumb, stupid, and naive, and they're just now starting to wake up to the reality that that's not the case anymore, and that's why there's a war going on against the independent media, and we're going to have fact checkers, which the name sounds like they should be objective, but they're not. They're just there to agree with the powers that be that say, oh yes, this is the official story here.
And it doesn't seem to end. It's frightening. It is frightening how bad things are developing when it's right there in front of everybody's nose. And though people speak out about it, then we find out why our voices aren't being heard or haven't been heard over the last few years. And it's because the government's in cahoots with the social media companies.
Which means social media companies are bound by the Bill of Rights. Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Rivero. You have a great weekend. If I don't happen to check in with you tomorrow, I doubt that's going to happen.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the phone call. And before we get to the next phone call, I want to read a quote this was the London Times back when Lincoln was in office, and they just excoriated him. When Lincoln decided to issue government greenbacks to finance the Civil War, the London Times wrote an editorial: if this mischievous financial policy, which has its origin in North America, shall become indurated down to a fixture, then that government will furnish its own money without cost. It will pay off debts and be without debt. It will have all the money necessary to carry on its commerce. It will become prosperous without precedent in the history of the world. The brains and wealth of all countries will go to North America. That country must be destroyed, or it will destroy every monarchy on the globe. Okay? And in 1872, New York bankers sent a letter. And we're talking Union, New York. They sent a letter to every bank in the United States urging them to fund newspapers that opposed the idea of government-issued money. So, that's the financial dimension that lies behind that one. All righty, we have open lines, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Andy in Texas. Hello, Andy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my phone call. So when we discovered this country and stuff, Ben Franklin comes out of the meeting saying, you have a republic if you can keep it. So
yes.
I just want you to kind of review for everybody out here, what is the difference between a republic and a democracy?
Well, our government is supposed to be a blend, but a republic is basically any nation that is governed by representatives of the people. And the idea of democracy is the voters vote on everything. These are two extreme situations there. There was actually a paper that came out of the Pentagon many years ago that denounced democracy as being mobocracy, because all you would need would be a simple majority of the vote to impose hardships on everybody else. Democracy is three wolves and a sheep voting on what they're going to have for dinner that night. So the idea of a republic is to try and balance the needs of the state against the needs of the people who are ultimately paying all the bills. Now, under the Constitution, the United States is a republic, even says so in the Pledge of Allegiance, with a democratically elected representative body. But obviously, if the elections are being rigged, the democratic aspect no longer exists.
Well, with a mob rule in the democratic version, or the democracy is, so it's kind of a mob rule, 51% decides what the other 49% are going to have and stuff. But wasn't a republic set up to be the rule of law, and then the democracy is the law of rules, which means that they voted in all these, like we got now. You can totally see all these different codes, ordinances, and stuff. They're not constitutional. So, but the republic, had we upheld the republic, these things wouldn't be available. It's a democracy that's diminished us into this, right? The two wolves and a sheep wondering what the heck's up for dinner. Is that where we're at? I mean, it seems to me.
Yeah, we're definitely there. I mean, with all the massive election fraud that's going on, I mean, remember, this nation was originally built as a coalition of separate sovereign states. When we talk about the state of New York, it was a sovereign nation state unto itself who agreed to cooperate with each other, and the only function of the central government was to arbitrate disputes between the separate sovereign states and to basically act as a central organizer in the event of war.
All right, Mike. Thanks for your time. Appreciate your time.
All right. You've got it. 512-248-8252. And let's get on back to immigration, because there's all kinds of stuff happening there. Up in Massachusetts, there are these two towns. One is Kingston, a population of 13,000, and Plymouth. You've probably heard of that one before, population of 61,000. And representatives held a press conference last week to complain that migrants were being relocated into their neighborhoods without any prior notice from the state government. And they're saying a heads up would have been nice so that we could absorb this increase in our population gently. But the open borders people and bring in the illegals and let them vote, they don't care what hardships are being caused by these future Democratic voters, which is why we have that's part of the increase in crime, rapes. Again, if we believe the official story on the attack on Paul Pelosi, another illegal immigrant there, not to mention this insane wide open border to the drug cartels. And frankly, I think, you know, given a choice between having a border that is controlled by our government versus a border controlled by drug cartels, I want the border controlled by the government. Okay, because the drug cartels are already exerting far too much influence over our nation. Okay, now getting on out here, let's talk a little bit about the Second Amendment. This was over in Blabberbuzz, and there was this Virginia mother who called out the local school board over blatant anti-Second Amendment propaganda. And we know because of the pandemics, there were a lot of Zoom education going on, which gave parents an opportunity for the first time to look in on what was actually going on in the classroom environment. Even though it was a virtual environment, they could see and hear what the teachers were feeding to our children. And it's prompted a huge amount of anger. And so this particular mother was, incensed by the school, you know, saying, you know, guns are bad, you don't want guns, we'll take care of you, and so forth and so on. Meanwhile, getting on back to the transgender situation, actually, we have a caller waiting on the line. I want to take that caller first. Joshua in New York, welcome to the show. I may have to take you through the commercial break. What's on your mind?
Just wanted to really quick mention with the nation, that just so everyone knows, every single, like you said, New York, Massachusetts, that, they're all each technically like Israel or Russia. You know what I mean? They're an actual nation, hence nation state.
That's the way it was set up. That's why they have their own chief executive and their own legislature and their own Senate.
Yeah, but everyone needs to realize that they need to look at that. That's why it's United States, or you could say nations, but since they already have United Nations for, like, Europe and that. But, yeah, the United States is like United Nations of Europe. It's like the same
Well,
thing.
The giveaway clue there is the name, the United States, plural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. But, yeah, I just wanted to just make sure everyone understood that and clarified that. They understand every state is a nation in itself.
Well, that's how it started out. Unfortunately, like Brussels did to the European Union, Washington, D.C. has usurped much of the independence and sovereignty of the several states. Thank you for the call. We're going to take a break for commercials, and we'll be back with the last segment of our show.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com, or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon, socialist banker to the one world goons. Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR.
And And welcome back to our show, last segment of our program today. And I want to have a couple of words about this whole transgenderism, the drugs, the surgery, and everything, just mutilating kids in the name of political correctness. Out in California, they're trying to attack parents' rights under the guise of medical care. And the attitude is, we, the government, know what's best for your child better than you, the parent, does. Well, after this fiasco with COVID, I wouldn't be so sure about that. Over in Pennsylvania, their government has spent $16 million in Pennsylvania tax dollars on children's sex reassignment surgeries and related services ever since Governor Wolf took office. And finally, Tim Ryan, who's having a bad day, as I reported earlier, he is now pledging to support taxpayer-funded gender reassignment surgery for the illegal immigrants. I mean, that is just really out there. It really, really is. Okay, I would like to invite Peter Serafine to come on the air with me. He's going to be hosting the Intel Report after I'm done here flapping my gums all over the place here. So, Peter, are you there?
I am.
Excellent. Glad to hear you. What's going on?
Hey, I don't know. I'm planning on talking about... about how our elections and who we vote for and the laws around elections have all changed since our Constitution, and why we need to pay attention to that. That's what I plan on focusing on tonight.
That's a good topic, given that we're looking at this midterm election. I mean, view it as a national IQ test. We're all going to be given next Tuesday to see how smart or dumb we really are as a nation. And it's going to get ugly.
Oh, I agree. And I'm in Pennsylvania, where Der Fuhrer Wolf, as I refer to him, authorized that $16 million of my tax money to go to those gender reassignment surgeries. I saw that article this morning, maybe yesterday, and I was a little upset about it. It's, you can probably imagine.
Yeah. The reason is obvious. They're exploiting the children's gender dysphoria for money. Psychologists are saying children, when they're in puberty and they're going through all those changes, gender dysphoria is something that they go through, but it's a phase. And even Britain's National Health Service is out there saying it's a phase. You don't need to cut them up and drug them, you know, because they're going through the normal angst of adolescence. We had another article that we put on whatreallyhappened.com where there was this investment company that was saying, this is a golden opportunity. There's going to be money made with all this transgender stuff. And, you know, they're trading the blood of our kids for more gold for their pocket. And, that's terrible.
It is. I saw that article, too, and that's, unfortunately, that's what a lot of these companies are doing. They're putting profits over everything. I mean,
yes, they are. They are. Because there's so many people, we can kill off a bunch of them here. All right. Well, the music is playing and the show is over. And as I've already indicated, Peter Serafine is going to be continuing on the National Intel Report. Meanwhile, please spread the word of republicbroadcasting.org. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Thanks to everybody continuing to donate to get us through these dark times. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday. Aloha, America.
I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.